Good evening, everyone. Please join me in praying as we look into this section of God's Word together. Father God, we do thank you for your Word, and as we look at this part of your Word, the letter to the Corinthian church, we pray that you will give us great understanding and great wisdom as you would teach us about yourself, about ourselves, and how we may better serve you. And we ask this through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you think of when you hear the word treasure? Value. Yes, thank you. I must admit, with four boys, I've probably seen too many movies. I think of pirates. When I hear the word treasure, I think of treasure chests. I think of gold, and I think of jewels flowing over in those big treasure chests. Like I said, I've seen too many movies now. In the passage that we're looking at tonight, the Apostle Paul talks about treasure, God's glorious treasure, but not in treasure chests that we think of in movies, but in jars of clay. And we're going to be looking at that treasure, God's glorious treasure. And if it is so glorious, then why has it been placed in jars of clay? Well, firstly, let's think about what this glorious treasure that Paul is referring to actually is. In verse 4 of the passage that we just heard read for us, we see that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In verse 6 we read, "For God who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." The treasure that Paul is referring to here is the knowledge of the glory of God that has been revealed to him in Jesus Christ. The knowledge that Jesus is God's Son, and that Jesus alone reveals God's glory, and that Jesus is the one who makes our relationship with the Creator of the universe possible. Paul quotes from Genesis chapter 1 to show us that God's act of revealing himself to us through Christ is as powerful as the act of creation itself. That stark contrast between complete darkness and that moment when God says, "Let there be light," and it overtakes the darkness. This glorious treasure, this incredible knowledge that God has revealed about himself, about how people can have a personal relationship with the Creator of the universe, is not found in the rich, beautiful, and easy to listen orators who were popular in the time of Paul. No, this treasure, Paul says in verse 7, is found in jars of clay. Ordinary, everyday clay pots. The basic commodity that even the poorest of the poor would use to drink from. And this is a cause for humility. Jars of clay is Paul's way of describing himself and his fellow co-workers in the gospel. In other words, what Paul is saying is that in human terms, I'm actually quite ordinary. I'm not an eloquent speaker like many of my day. I'm not rich like many who came to speak to you. I'm not out to get your money. By the world's standards, Paul is really quite ordinary. And to some extent, unimpressive. But that should not be of a concern to the Corinthians, Paul says, because I am simply the vessel. The real treasure is the message that I have to give to you. the message of the gospel. And God chooses to place this glorious treasure into the hearts of weak, sinful humans to show that this all-surpassing power comes from God and not from Paul. Now, of all the people that God could have chosen, he chooses Paul, the man who was a persecutor of Christians. There was a whole bunch of apostles that God could have chosen to go to the Gentiles, but he chose Paul, the man who was on his way to Damascus to arrest all of the Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem and throw them into jail. And on the way, God reveals himself to Paul through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and changes his life forever. And Paul's point here is that it is all God. God is the one who works in people's hearts to change them from being focused on worldly things to having hearts that rejoice in the glory of God. This glorious message of the gospel, knowing the truth about Jesus, knowing that Jesus came down to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserve, nailing it to the cross, so that anyone who turns to God and asks for forgiveness of their sins can and will be forgiven and receive that gift of eternal life. This glorious truth is carried around in clay pots inside weak and sinful people like you and I. Excuse me. Well, what does that teach us about God and about ourselves? It shows us that we have no reason to boast other than of the glory of God. We don't boast about ourselves, but of that glorious transformation that is only God's to do. See, God doesn't choose some kind of superman or superwoman to carry around the glorious treasure. God doesn't necessarily choose the smartest, richest people of the world to carry around his most precious possession. Many of you may be familiar with the late Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple. An incredibly smart man, an incredibly rich man. In fact, at the time of his death, his net worth was estimated to be somewhere around $31.6 billion. I can't even comprehend that sort of amount of money. How many of us tonight have an iPhone? Hands up. Have used an iPod or an iPad, downloaded music from iTunes. Maybe we have Steve Jobs and the founders of Apple to be thankful for that. And yet, as far as we know, at the time of his death, Steve Jobs didn't profess publicly to being a Christian. God doesn't necessarily choose the richest and smartest people in the world to be the bearers of his glorious treasure. Nor does he necessarily choose the beautiful people. Of all the Hollywood movie stars, how many can you name that have publicly professed to be followers of Jesus? I asked this question this morning, and a couple of our 8 o'clockers and our 10 a.m.ers did their research. They said it took them a while, and they came up between 4 people out of all of our congregations, they came up with 4 names. And I must admit, I only knew the name of one of those 4. It's the point, isn't it? You know, you think about how long Hollywood's been going on, all the movies that you watch. How many Christians can you name? It's not the powerful people either, is it? We are blessed at the moment, whatever side of politics that you may be on in Australia. At the moment, we have a Christian Prime Minister. That is not the case for most countries around this world. God's strategy is to use ordinary, weak people, sinners who have been saved by grace, people like you and I, to bring the gospel message of Jesus Christ to the world. As the Apostle Paul declares, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So there's no reason for us to boast about our own good works. Riches, intelligence, beauty, popularity. None of them have any influence beyond the grave. The only thing that will matter once we die is, do we know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour? All of these other treasures, as good as they are, will fade away. But life that is centered on Jesus will never fade. It's a reminder to us to remain humble. It's not because of what we have done, it's because of what God does. And that leads us to our next point. Treasures in jars of clay give us a reason for hope. Paul has experienced tremendous suffering as a result of following Jesus. He knows that he has God's glorious treasure within, so he does not lose heart. The knowledge and personal experience of doing Christ's work brings hope. In verse 8 we read, Paul says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." The power to lift a person out of their powerlessness in the face of suffering, decay, and death does not come from within oneself. It only comes from God. In the last couple of weeks, I've conducted quite a few funerals, and I have another one coming up next week. And it's a reminder to me of the frailty of the human body. The body, whilst we grow from very young to a certain age, is aging each day. And yet, as weak as our bodies are, the treasure that lies within the person whose trust is in the Lord Jesus remains as strong and powerful and true as ever. The message of the gospel is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Whoever confesses with their lips that Jesus is Lord, believes in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, will be saved. The message of the gospel is the power of God to take people through death into resurrected life that will last forever. Not even death can separate the believer from God's love that is in Christ Jesus. Think for a moment about your own life. The hardships that you face, the struggles that you have to endure. How do you respond during those times? I was speaking recently at Scope. For those of you who may be visiting tonight, Scope is our seniors ministry that meets once a month on a Friday morning. And we were talking and reflecting about the bushfires that have been coming across our state. So far in New South Wales in this bushfire season, somewhere around 476 homes have been lost, and about 1.65 million hectares of bushland. Tragically, but at the same time, remarkably, only four lives have been lost. It's at times like this that people begin to ask some of those age-old questions: where is God in all of this? What is God doing? Why is he letting this happen? Why doesn't he send rain? Does he even care? They're tough questions, aren't they? What do you say to someone who has just lost their home in a bushfire? Maybe even lost a loved one. If God has got the whole world in the palm of his hand, why is he allowing this to happen? I think we have to be very careful how we respond to that question. we're on very shaky ground if we try and speculate about the mind of God. We can't begin to know the mind of God. All we can say is what God has told us through his word and what he has revealed to us of himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do know God loves us. God has shown us that by sending Jesus to the cross. And God has shown us that even death cannot defeat the person whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has conquered death. We may lose what is temporary here on this earth, but we can never lose what is eternal in Christ. In the path of a bushfire, what do we desperately need? It's shelter, isn't it? That is what God offers to us through Jesus. Protection beyond the grave. Treasure that will stand the test of time. So when we face trials and struggles in this life, and we will, don't lose hope. Push on in faith, trusting Jesus. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in this part of his letter, even though we might be hard-pressed on every side, we're not crushed. Even though we might be perplexed at times by people's responses, we don't despair. Even though we may be persecuted for sharing what we believe, we are not abandoned by God. And even though we are struck down, we are not destroyed. We have treasure in these jars of clay, so we don't lose hope. Well, the final thing for us to note tonight from this passage is that treasure, in jars of clay gives us a reason to be bold. Because God has put his treasure into jars of clay, we have no excuse for not sharing it with others. The message of the gospel is not small. It is big enough for the whole world. It overflows. It is a treasure that is enough to share with every single person on this earth. Our ordinariness, our weakness, our struggles, they are not an excuse for us not to share the message of the gospel with someone. In fact, if anything, they are a benefit to us. Because if we really want God to get the glory, then we only need to share with someone what he has done in these weak vessels for God's name to be glorified. Every believer has a story to tell. Your story about how you came to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the power of God working in you. People need to hear that story. Don't be afraid to share it. Be bold. God has put each one of us in unique relationships. You are in relationships that I will never be in. And I'm in relationships that you will never be in. God has put us in those relationships. So ask God for an opportunity to share your story with someone. If God can change your heart, if he can change my heart and lead us in the way of salvation, then he can change other people's hearts as well. And can I say, if you're here tonight and you don't think that God has changed your heart to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to talk more about that, come and speak to me afterwards. I would love to speak to you about it. Well, let me wrap all this together. God's glorious treasure, the gospel truth about Jesus, God has written onto the hearts of all who through faith confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. He has written that through the power of his Holy Spirit. If you think even for a moment that you are deserving of God's love, and I include myself in this, then this is a reminder to us to humble ourselves before God. But also, if you are feeling weighed down by the struggles of this life, and again, I include myself in this, then let us be reminded of Paul's words. We have this treasure in jars of clay for a reason. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. God is our strength. God has blessed everyone who trusts in his Son with the glorious treasure of eternal life. So let us not lose hope, but rather let us be ever looking for opportunities to share this incredibly valuable treasure with everyone that God gives us the opportunity to do so with. Amen.